One for him, one for the ministry. Wow. Thank you very much. We'll leave it in.
I take one envelope, my ministry
take
one
envelope. Amen.
I want to be a billionaire. I want to be a billionaire. Talk to your neighbor, say, poverty will never be my portion. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate the awesome man and woman of God and this great church. Hallelujah. You may please be seated in God's presence. What a mighty God we serve. I'm so grateful to God for the privilege
to be back in the house to share God's word with God's people. I want to ask that every single in the house, make sure you are in the house all through this week. Beginning from tomorrow night, we're going to be going to some dimensions as we look at the 7-star single. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time. We're going to have opportunity to share God's word. We're going to have opportunity to ask questions. We're going to have some prayer sessions. And then on Wednesday night, someone say Wednesday night. Wednesday night is going to be a night like no other. It's going to be a dinner. The last time we had the dinner, we had a lot of people that came late because they did not buy the ticket on time and they had to start coming and they were like, well, there is no space. We have to start sharing plates, putting seats around. So make sure that you get yourself connected and get your ticket. This morning we'll start selling the tickets for people to get there. It's just 50 Ghana cedis. I was telling Pastor Fred, I said, why do you people like doing cheap things like this? 50 Ghana cedis for what? It should be minimum of 100. How much is 50 Ghana cedis? And they are going to come and eat food and then it's too small. So make sure you buy on time today and then you come on Wednesday. It's meetings like these. You see, a lot of people don't go to church because they feel that church is not relevant to them. Church is boring. It's meetings like these that you bring people to so that they will know that God is a good God. They will know that being a Christian is not boring. So if you have people that you have been trying to get saved, just tell them, I'm inviting you to a dinner. So buy like 6 tickets for 50 Ghana cedis and invite your boss, invite your colleagues, invite your neighbors, your landlord, people that are out there that do not know the Lord. Use this as an evangelistic tool. Bring them on Wednesday night. They come, they see the setting, they come, they hear the word, they come, they experience the sessions, and they will live with a different view of God. So let's make sure that we bring people, and we're also inviting married people to come. Because if you're married and you have children, you need to know what the youth of today are going through. Many of us don't know our children. So you need to come so that you will know how to counsel your children, you will know how to guide them in life. And as you do that, the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. We have some materials that are available. Singles, get ready. A lot of people prepare for marriage, for wedding, but only few people prepare for marriage. Wedding is for a day, but marriage is for a lifetime. So when you get that book, it will teach you how to prepare for marriage and not just for the wedding. This one is called, Why Are You Not Married? A lot of people are not married and they are wondering, why am I not married? Educated, sound in the spirit, and yet husband is not coming. It may just be one or two little things that you have not put in place that has hindered you from marriage. You want to marry all your friends. You are single. All your friends are married. You are moving with married people. And when somebody looks at you, they see you in the crowd of married and they are clouded by that. You don't know why. So get it. This one is called Friends and Friendship. And then this one is called The New Rules of Love for Singles and Couples. The game is the same, but the rules have changed. So what your mother and your grandmother told you is no more true. And you need to learn and be updated, because if you are not inspired, you will expire. If you are not updated, you will be outdated. If you are not informed, you will be deformed. So you need to upgrade yourself. Amen, somebody. You need to upgrade yourself. Then we have the love is not enough. That's what I'm going to be sharing from this morning. We have love is not enough. It's both for single people and married people. It tells you vital considerations before you say I do, and wisdom for couples after you say I do. And then we have a lot of audio programs, both for single and married people. We have avoiding relational danger zones. The same way you have danger zones all around, you have individuals that are danger zones. When you look at a man now, you don't know whether he's HIV positive or not because it's not written on their face. So many people you see have all kinds of danger. They are moving around. They are toxic individuals that you need to avoid. So make sure that you get that. This one is called How to Find the Right Spouse. Who, what, where, when, and how. It answers a lot of questions. This one is Before You Say I Do. What are the things you need to put in place before you say I do? Because a lot of people say I do, and they have no clue what they are supposed to do. And when they get married, they are beginning to wonder. They have said I do now, and they don't know what to do. Common sense for singles, very powerful. How to find true love. There is true love out there. And then money in relationships. So we're going to be having a lot of all these materials available for you to take advantage of. And as you do that, the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Spirit of the living God, we thank you because every time we come into your presence, you have a blessing for us. Lord, this morning, open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to gain understanding. I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And I ask that no one is permitted to live here the same. Thank you, awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the saints of God shout a big amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to just be sharing with us on something that is general that we all need to know as single people and as married people, so that tomorrow night we'll focus specifically on the singles. But this morning, since it's a morning session, it's a church service, we don't just want to deprive the couples of getting some stuff, so that we'll let you know the reason why you also need to be a part of this conference. So this morning, I want to talk to us about what I've simply entitled The Clash of the Titans. The Clash of the Titans, the understanding gender uniqueness, the Clash of the Titans. Many years ago, a group of scientists came together, both men and women, and they were trying to find out how to rightly define the computer. They wanted to be able to find out whether the computer should be addressed as a gender, a male gender, or a female gender. So they wanted to find out, okay, this computer, do we use the word he or she for a computer? And this was at the beginning when computers were about to become very, very popular, and they were the advent of the PC. So they took all the women and put the scientists in one room, and they took all the men's, male scientists and put them in one room and told them to go do the research and come out. Now, by the time they came out with their research, this was their conclusion. The women came out and said that as far as they were concerned, the computer should be referred to as a male gender. So they wanted the computer to be referred to as a E. And they gave three reasons. Now, when the male, you know, scientists came out and they asked them what they thought the computer should be referred as, they said, oh, we believe that the computer should be referred as a she. And they also gave their reasons. And now these are their reasons. When the women came out, they said, well, the computer should be referred to as a E for three reasons. Number one, in order for you to use the computer, you have to turn it on. And there is no way you can use it on except it is turned on. And in order for you to use a man, you have to turn him on, because if you don't turn him on, you can't use him. Number two, they said the computer should be referred to as a E because even though the computer was created to solve a problem, the computer itself is a problem. And many men were created to solve a problem in our life, but when they come into our life, we discover that these men themselves, they are problems. Number three, they said the computer should be referred to as a E because they realized that the very minute you buy a computer, before you know it, another newer model has come. And you are thinking, oh, maybe I should have waited for this newer model. Oh. And every time you bring a man into your life, you think you have gotten the best man. And few weeks, few months down the line, you are like, wow, there are better men out there. When the men came out, they said, well, we believe that the computer should be referred to as a she. And they gave three reasons. They said, number one, only the creator of the computer knows the inner workings of the computer. No matter how much you try, you can never really know a woman because they are mysterious. They said, number two, the computer should be referred to as a she because When you look at the computer, even your smallest mistake is stored in a long-term memory. When you relate with a woman, there's something you did in 1972, she will still remember. And they say, finally, the reason why the computer should be referred to as a she is because when you buy the computer, that is not the end of your buying or your purchases. That is the beginning. Because once you buy the computer, you now need to buy a lot of accessories for the computer. A lot of accessories. So when you marry a woman and you have paid the dowry, your expenses have just begun. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding is that which is under upon which you stand. When the foundation is not in place, when you lack understanding, you will not be able to stand well. And that's why it's very, very important for us as individuals to have understanding. I'm talking to you about the clash of the titans, the battle of the sexes, understanding the uniqueness of genders. Many years ago, a man wrote a book called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, a man called John Gray. And when he wrote the book, he was trying to help us to understand that we live in a world where men and women speak different languages. And sometimes when you do not understand the language differences between a man and a woman, you're going to get into trouble. I've seen a lot of men married and single that get into trouble because when they ask their wife, how are you doing? You know, you are not looking too good. Is everything okay? And the woman says, fine. Because they lack understanding, they do not realize that when a woman says fine, it's not fine. When a woman tells you fine, she's actually telling you, let me see how much you care. Well, let me see whether you will dig deeper to really find out the reason. So when you tell a woman, when a woman tells you fine, you say, oh, you are fine, you move on. He says, he's a stupid man. He doesn't know. See, useless man. He has left. You are going now. But you say you are fine. Hello, somebody. So many people don't have understanding. I always tell men, look, study this thing very well. When a woman brings two set of clothes to you or two set of shoes, honey, which one do you think I should wear? Don't ever answer that question. Why? Because she's not really asking for your answer. She already knows the one that she wants. If you choose the one that she wants, she will say, hey, I know our spirit is together. If you choose the one that she does not want, she will redirect you back to say, ah, you think so? What of this one? Because she already knows what she wants. But because we lack understanding of the differences between the gender, we always get into trouble. Now, many people get, hey, all these women, they are the same. What else do you expect them to be? They are women. All these men, they are the same. What else do you expect them to be? You need to understand that every man, every woman is essentially the same. And once you understand the basic uniqueness, the basic differences between a man and a woman, what will now be left is for you to understand the uniqueness of your man and your woman. So many people enter into marriage not even understanding the basic differences, the basic traits between a man and a woman. When God created man, Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28, the Bible says, male and female created he them. So in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, we see that the creation of man had a male and a female component. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we see in Genesis 2, 7, the creation of the body or the casing that the man was put into. So Genesis 1, 26 to 28 says male and female created he them. So there was a component of two sets of creation. But in Genesis 2, 7, he created the body that he was going to put the creation into. But by the time you go down to Genesis 2, somewhere around 20 to 22, you now realize that God now put the man in a deep sleep, and out of the man, he brought forth a rib and created a woman. So when you look at the word man and the word woman, the word male, the word female, you realize that man is a man, woman is a man also, but is a man with a womb. Wombed man. Male is a male, but female is a male also with a feeling. She's a feeling male. So, in order for you to understand the differences, there are about 15 differences between a man and a woman. It's in the book. I will give you maybe 7 now. Second service, I'll give you another one. Now, listen. Are you ready? Now, the first difference between a man and a woman is that men are logical while women are emotional. Men are logical while women are emotional. Now, listen to me. A man will think before he feels. A woman will feel before she thinks. Now, listen to me. Every time there is a problem or there is a challenge, who is the first person to cry? The woman. Every time there is a trouble, who is the first person to react? The woman. You know why? Because for everything that a woman goes through, she responds first from the emotional point before she begins to logically think about it. And now everything that a man goes through, he responds first from the point of logic before he begins to attach his feeling. So because we do not have this understanding, let's say for instance, we are in church now, and then you get home, and they bring a news. I say, did you hear? He say, what? I say, Brother James had an accident. I say, I had an accident. Where? He say, he had an accident in Airport Road. I say, The woman will start crying. Hey, Brother James, is he okay? And he's a very nice brother. And then the man will be like, Airport Road. What was he doing in Airport Road? Was he not supposed to be in church? Did he not know Pastor Lumide is coming this morning? What? And the woman will say, they say somebody had an accident. Your answer is stupid question. Is that it? Now, question. The woman is crying and worrying. The man is asking, so where did it happen? So where is he now? He's in the hospital now. Now, you that are crying, can your crying heal him? No. The man is asking questions, not that he does not have a feeling, but he's asking the question because he wants to logically comprehend what is on ground to know what to do. And when we don't understand this, we get into trouble. So you see a lot of women accuse their men. You don't care. You are not emotional. You are not romantic. And then the men accuse their women. You are too key. You have to be strong. So there's conflict. Let me ask you a question. When a woman goes to the market and a man goes to the market to buy, you see their differences even in their purchase. Before a man goes to the market, he knows exactly what he wants. He has settled it in his mind. I'm going to get a gray shirt or a blue shirt. That's it. And when a man gets to the market, he says, okay, yeah, that's one. How much? Straight to the point. Okay, that's just it. Do you have it in blue? Okay, give me the blue. And in 10 minutes, it's gone. When a woman goes to the market, have you ever gone to shopping with your wife? You told me you wanted a blouse. We are now in the 8th store. We have seen hundreds of blouses. You have seen us see what you want? It's because she's emotional. It is easy for a woman to go to the market and buy a shoe that is not her size. It will size her in the market out of emotion. But when she gets home, this shoe is not my size. I say, but you bought it. What's your problem? Hello? And you're wondering. Now, a man, before he buys anything, he's already thinking, do I have a shoe that will match? Do I have a tie that will go with it? Do I have a shirt that will go? So he goes to buy something that is missing. When the woman goes to the market, lilac, I like it, lilac. She will buy the dress. She knows what the budget is. She will now come home and say, that dress is fine, but I don't have shoe. I don't have back to my. So you didn't know you needed a shoe when you were going to market and you are buying dress that you don't have shoe to match. That's the difference. But do you know what? We need these differences. When we understand it, it helps us. You know why? When you are a man, there are many things you will not see that puts you into trouble because you are too logical to flow. Now listen to me. When a guest comes to visit you in the house and they meet your husband at home, what happens? Your husband sits down there and they begin to gist. How are you? So what's happening? 1 hour. The guy is not offering them anything. The guy is not asking them whether they want to eat. Why? Because as far as it's concerned, my house is not a restaurant. The guy did not come here to eat. He came to visit. Let us go straight to the point. Now, let me ask you a question. When people come to your house, do you offer them the restroom? No. But if they want to use the restroom, they will ask, can I use the restroom? That's the way a man thinks. If you need the restroom, you will ask. If you are thirsty, you will ask. So if you are hungry, say, can I have food to eat? You will ask. That's where. But when a woman comes and says, ah, Brother James, you are here. Welcome. Ah, honey, you didn't offer them anything. What do you want to drink? What did they... Emotion. Hello? So number one, men are what? Logical, while women are emotional. Number two, are you sure you are ready? Men are headliners, while women are broadcasters. So if you are a single person, begin to learn this thing now, because it will never change. So that you won't just be fooling yourself and be fighting a battle that does not exist. Men are headliners. What do I mean by that? When a man goes to work and comes back, and the wife or the woman asks, how was your day? What would the man say? Fine. Simple, fine. Now, when a woman goes out and comes back, and the husband says, how was your day? Don't ask that question if you don't have time for the story. Because when you say, how was your day? Say, hey! Today was serious. So, do you know that it rained in Akosombo? Do you know that immediately you dropped me? Before I forget, that brother that left church 2 years ago, I saw him. Is that what we are talking about? But the woman will go on and on and on and on, and the man will be like, say, are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? Why? Because men are just headliners. Whenever you listen to the news, there are two sections. Hello, you're welcome to the evening news. Now, the headline. The president has approved the new budget. There was a crisis in Kasua. Doctors are about to go on strike. Now, the news in detail. That headline is what men do. The news in detail is what women do. Hallelujah! Now, do you know how this service is now? If you get home now and there is a man or a woman in the house, there are two different things. If any man here gets home, as powerful as this service is, when he says, so how was church today? Church was fine. That's all. Oh, church was fine. It was a very good service. That's what a man will say. But when you get home now and it's a woman and you ask the woman, how was service today? Say, hey! Service today was serious. Oh, Papa showed us a video. Hey! I even saw somebody that looked like one of your uncle, your auntie. Are they in the story? So he said, hey! And then we have to go to church tomorrow. Singles conference. He said, are we singles? Ah! We must not miss it. That man, the brother, that is very funny. Yeah. Whether he's a pastor, I don't know. Whether he's a comedian, I don't know. Hallelujah. But do you know why this causes problem in relationship? The women are like, my husband is too secretive. He does not talk to me. And the reason is because they ask the man, how was your day? He says, fine. And the same man that seemed not to be talking, when he's talking with his friend about football, or they are talking about that, he's a talkative. And they're like, boy, you say you don't talk. Why are you always talking when you are me? When like you, they don't understand. You see, a man, when he's with his friend, can talk because they are talking about something that is mutually passionate for them. And he's not going to be seeing his friends every day. But when he's at home, he's coming into a sanctuary because he has gone to work. He wants to come home and rest. So he's trying to reduce everything that can result to unrest. And he's just coming home into the temple to come and worship and lie down. Hallelujah. So in order for you to get him to speak, all you need to do is to ask him the right question in the right way. If you ask him the right question in the wrong way, it equals to interrogation. If you ask him the wrong question, even if you ask it in the right way, it is nagging. But if you ask him the right question in the right way, it is communication. Now, women just need,
Men, let me give you a revelation. The women just need to know that they are important in your life enough for you to share. And let me tell you something. When you come back, you say, I'm going to tell you the secret in their presence. It will still work, even though they are hearing it. I'm telling you. When a woman asks you, how was your day? She's not really jobless and looking for too much information. She just wants to be sure that your day was okay because she's concerned about you because she cares. And she wants to be sure that you are honest and open and intimate with her enough to share everything with her. So when she says, how was your day? Say, baby, hey! There are many things today, but we'll talk later. Let me have my food. That we will talk later is an emotional massage. I'm telling you. Once you say, we'll talk later, she'll say, oh, thank you. After, she will forget. And then you are safe. Number three, because of my time, let me give you five. If you come for second service, I'll give you another five. Number three, men are moved by sight, women are moved by words. Men are moved by sight, women are moved by words. You know why? Listen. When God created the woman, the man was asleep. Are you ready? The man was what? He was sleeping. God created the woman and woke the man up. So when the man opened his eyes, the first encounter that the man had with a woman was seeing the woman. Say, yes! Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall become woman. So because of that, men are moved by what they see. But when the man was asleep, and the woman was being brought to the man, as the woman was being brought, she was seeing a man that was on the floor, asleep, looking dead. And when the man stood up, the first thing she heard from the man was, wow, woman, flesh of my flesh. But so the first encounter that the woman had with a man was the words of the man. The first encounter that a man had with a woman was the sight of the woman. So every man is moved by what he sees. And that is why a man that wants to survive must know how to have a covenant with his eyes. You know all the women we have today that will be opening their breasts, pumping everything, wonder bra. If you are a man, you want to make careful. You have to be very, very careful. Because what you see can ruin your life. Go and ask David what caused him trouble. It was what he saw. Because what you see becomes an image in your mind. What becomes an image in your mind becomes a program in your emotion. What becomes a program in your emotion becomes an action in your life. And before you know it, you're on your way to hell. So men are moved by what they see. Women are moved by what. That's why women should be very careful. So men, you need to have what I call a covenant with your eyes. Because let me tell you something. Whether you are anointed or you are an apostle, we see breasts, we see bum bum, we see shapes. So it is you that will now make a covenant with your eye to say, no, 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 I have a better one at home. This one is too small to disturb my destiny. Or else you will end up in shame. That's how many people, because they don't have understanding. So when you are a woman, you have to make sure you look good and you smell good. When you get to the holiest of holies, there is incense in the outer court, incense in the holy place, incense in the most holy place, and now you are born again, you say you don't believe in perfume. What nonsense. You must look good and smell good. Hello? You know why? Because men are moved by what they see. So you now see a lot of women, the reason why they have problems in their marriages is because when they get married, they stop looking good. They now drop everything. You are wearing bra that is torn, that you have used red rope to sew a white bra. You are wearing dirty pants. You are wearing boo-boo. You want to sleep, you are wearing trousers, and you are looking like a grandmother. No man is enticed or aroused by his grandmother. So when you are going to sleep, you are supposed to put on a lacy negligee. A scintillating, there must be no bra, no entrance, no obstacle. So that when the man wants to come into the temple and worship, he's expressed. Hello? You don't call many women, when the man is leaving in the morning, how are you when he's leaving home? You must look so that the last picture he sees of you before leaving the house is beautiful. Because it's going out there, there are billboards, there are TV programs, there are secretaries that are bending down, all manner of things. So when he sees your picture, it will help him to delete all the other pictures. But when he leaves home and what he sees is a grandmother with disheveled hair, with Lala and Ikpi, then it will be trouble for him. So even after, so you need to look good and smell good, because men are moved by what they see. So men, there's something called the mystery of the neck. The mystery of the neck is that God has given you a neck to control your eyes. So if there's evil in front, you turn your neck like this. If there's evil here, you turn your neck like this. If there is evil picture everywhere, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. If there is evil up there, I close my eyes and I pray. I close my eyes and I worship. You close your eyes so that you will not see evil. See no evil, hear no evil. Hello, somebody. Women are moved by words. That's why everything about your wife should be complimented. A woman is like a flower. Your word is like water. When you speak right words, she blossoms. An experiment was carried out with two sets of plants to reveal the power of words upon flowers. One set of flowers was put on the left, and another one was put on the right on the windowsill where they had equal opportunity with the nature. But every morning, they were both watered with water. Every evening, they were both watered with water. But in the morning, while this one was being watered, it was being appreciated. You are blessed. You are a wonderful flower. You will blossom. You will grow to be a very beautiful flower. Your smell will be a fragrance of joy. You will prophesy on the flower. The second one, as they were watering the flower, they were saying, useless flower, you. All the water we are putting on, we know you are useless. This water will still not produce. You are just there. Nonsense. And guess what? After a few weeks, the one that was being spoken to blossomed. The other one dried up, even though he had water and the same thing. Why? Because your words are powerful. Words create. Everything that God created, he created through words. Words are the vehicle through which God operates. So when you speak wrong words, have you ever asked yourself, when God changed the name of Sarai to Sarah, she became so beautiful that even at the age of 90, kings were desiring her. What is going to be beautiful about a 90-year-old woman when you speak to her? When you speak the right one, every time they say Sarah, every time they call her beauty, favor. She moves around, she struts like, yeah, because they are speaking good. But the reason why your wife is looking old like your mother is because you have killed her with your words. She goes to the saloon and come back and you didn't say anything. Ah, your hair is looking nice. She dressed and you did not say anything. And many Christian women now are involved in emotional affairs. They are involved in emotional affairs because there are guys, dangerous guys out there that understand Formula 6 and Formula 11. And all they are doing is using words to seduce the woman of your life out of your life. And before you know it, she's beginning to feel comfortable with the conversation she's having because you are not giving her the same conversation. So you've got to be careful. Women, be careful when a man begins to speak those sweet nothings. Because whether you like it or not, you will melt like butter. So you see a lot of women, they go to work and these guys will notice what nobody else will know. Ooh, madam, wonderful. That earring looks good on you. Earrings. The guy is noticing the simple details. See, wow, the pendant on your chain is just amazing. Wow. The bow on your hair. Ah, in fact, wow. And then she lives there saying, hey, the bow of my hair. Ah. My husband didn't say anything. No, the pendant. She looks at it again. And then she goes to the bathroom and says, hey, the bow. The guy is married. She's married. But the guy is saying something that her husband should be saying. And before you know it, when she gets to work the next day, guess what? She will go by the guy's office. What is she looking for? Another compliment that nobody's giving her at home. That's how many men have lost their wives. Why? Because they don't know how to say the right thing. Single women, be careful when that guy begins to talk to you. There is a difference between a voice and a bedroom voice. When a man begins to use bedroom voice to speak to you, either in public or in secret, be careful. Because when the guy comes, say, oh, hey, my sister, how are you doing? Sister Loretta. Oh, how are you doing? It's nice to have you in church today. You look good. Instead of saying you look good, say you look good. And by the time they spiritualize it, I hope you know, I love you. With the love of the Lord. Once there is a pause Between I love you and with the love of the Lord is another love. Are you getting something now? So you need to understand all these things. They are very, very, very important. Let me give you one more and I close. We'll continue the second service. When God, if you don't come to second service, come tomorrow now or go and buy the book. Did you pay for the seminar? This one is... Now listen to me. Listen. When God created the man, the Bible says Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. So when God was to create the body of the man, he went to the dust of the earth to create the man. But when God was to create the woman, guess what? God went into the man and created the woman. So every man is naturally dirty and untidy. But women are naturally tidy and clean. So you find out that it comes from the root, because a woman is an updated version of the man. A woman is a refined version of the man. All the men in this house, I can guarantee you, over 90% of them did not cream their body this morning. I can guarantee you. Once they have their bath, they cream their hair, their hands, and that's it. They only cream places that people can see. Many men, when they remove their dress, all their body is full of all kinds of stuff, because they don't cream leg, they don't cream body. But every woman here, I can guarantee you, over 90% of them, if you open their bag now, you will see something inside. And you will see, because a man does not cream, but a woman, they have all manner of cream. Hair cream, face cream, hand cream, body cream. And then they say, I want to go and powder my nose. What's wrong with your nose? Is your nose a ministry? Between first and second service, they'll still go and powder nose. You know why? Because they just want to look good. And when a man does not understand that, he causes trouble. He causes trouble because the women have what we call the ministry of lateness. It's a ministry that women have. And that's why many people come to church late on Sunday morning, because their wives are dressing. Because when a man enters the shower, 3 minutes is out. But when the woman enter, first service, second service, third service will take place in the shower. So you need to understand that it will never change. Never. So what do you do as a man? Help your wife. A woman that is helped is a woman that is happy. So what do you do? As I'm standing before you right now, every Saturday night, I ask my wife, so what are you wearing tomorrow? We pick it on Saturday night. So what shoe? What accessory? What is the child wearing? We pick everything. I will iron everything myself. Either on Saturday night or Sunday morning. And once we wake up, I say, baby, go and bath. I will go and bath the children, dress them up so that she will have no excuse. We give her enough time to carry out the ministry, or else you will be late. And let me tell you something. If your wife is not happy, that day is already ruined. So you better behave. So all of you, hey, what are you people still doing? Hey, have you not finished bathing the children? Which one are you doing? Is it not two of you that gave birth to them? So you need to learn to put these things in place, or else there will be trouble. Because, and have you noticed that some men, in order to break this law, they begin to bleach. How do you feel when you see a bleaching man? You see that you look at him and he begins to smell to you. You say, what's wrong with this one? Because that's not your ministry. It's not your ministry. Hello, somebody. It's not your, I should go on. Okay. So you need to understand that it's very, very important. So men, naturally, they are not very concerned about all those cream. But women, you see many of them, look at their eyebrow. They have shaped it. Look at them. They shape the eyebrow. They put this one there. And you are wondering, what's wrong with all these people? You are okay the way you are. If you know how much women spend on makeup, on cosmetics, human hair, Brazilian hair, they don't have a plot of land. They are carrying the plot of land on their head. The money they should have used to build the house, they have used it to buy bag and shoe to match. Yet their bank account is not matching their financial destiny. Hello? Hello? Okay, let me move on. Let me give you two more. Number five. Now listen. A man finds fulfillment in his relationship with his job or career or vision. A woman finds fulfillment in her relationship with a man. And I will explain. When God created the man, The first thing that God introduced to the man was a vision. This is a garden. Tend it and keep it. So when man was created, his first assignment was vision, passion, career. When the woman was created and brought, the first thing she was introduced to was a man. So every man finds fulfillment in his relationship with his job, his career, his vision, because that's the first passion of his heart. But every woman finds fulfillment in her relationship with a man. That's why you find out, no matter how successful, how rich, how great a woman is, until she finds a man she can call her own, she's not fulfilled. Why? Because all the money, all the certificates is still not giving her what a man can give. And that's why, let me tell you something, as a man, when God speaks to you and says, that is your wife, whether she has PhD or master's degree or 30 billion or it doesn't matter, be a man and go there and propose. Go there and cover her, because all the money, all the certificate cannot give what you can give. Say, I have master's degree. Can you master yourself? Can you marry yourself? Hello? Can you kiss money? Can you romance money? Can money impregnate you? Can PhD make you happy? So you need to understand. So when you understand that, you discover that it will help you. So have you noticed that most of the women, the very minute they get married, a slim woman, in less than 6 weeks, 3 months, she begins to come up. Do you know what has happened? Every woman unconsciously goes about burdened about their marital destiny. And the very minute they get married, they go to what we call they heave a sigh of relief. Say, thank God, I'm now married. You see, that sigh is what releases all the frustration and the passion. They say, finally, I have my own. And therefore, you know, it's all the food they have been eating that was not producing. The food will start working well. Plus the extra one that the man will be dropping. And then things begin to happen. Amen. Now, so what do we see happens? A man goes to work, and all he's thinking of at work is, I want to provide for my wife. I want to provide for my family. My children must not suffer. However, the woman is there saying, you don't even have time for us. Everything is work, work, work. Work, work, work. Okay, everything is work, work, work. If I don't work, there is no money. If there is no money, you are not happy. Now I'm working to get money. You are still sad. So how do we settle this equation? It's the battle. It's the clash of the titans. So what you need to understand is that as a man, you need to have what I call quantity time at work and quality time at home. Quantity time at work and quality time at home. When you are home, be home. So if you are home for one day, that one day, take the boy to the salon with you. That one day, take your daughter out. That one day, bathe them, clothe them, do their own work. That one day, ask your wife, what can I do for you? Can I help you in the kitchen? Do everything so that one day that you are there, you make enough deposit that even if you are absent for another 2 weeks, they will be eating from that deposit before you return again. So every time you are around, for those of us that are busy people, we are always all everywhere. You need to make sure that you do what? For instance, now, I came back from the U.S., less than 2 weeks ago on a Thursday. When I came on a Thursday, the Friday, I did not go anywhere. The whole day, I told my wife, this is your day. Whatever you need, I'm here. Even if you say, go and wash plates, anything. I gave her a whole full day. Then we had a conference that was starting on Saturday with workers coming. And then Sunday, we had the conference to Wednesday. So I told her, we are going to the hotel for 1 week. Since there is a conference, morning session, evening session, I don't want you to worry about cooking. For the next, because immediately we finish the conference. By Saturday night, I'm off to Ghana again. So we have been in the hotel since last 1 week. So we just eat, sleep. So she's not going to any kitchen. She's not cooking anything. I left her in that hotel. Yes, I said, from hotel, go to church this morning. From church, they will take you home. Then you continue until I return again. Because for the last 1 week now, she's just there watching films, swimming, taking pepper soup. Nobody, she's not cooking. That is how you make deposit. So if I go again, I will have deposited. You don't go to a bank to withdraw money if you have not made a deposit in the bank. The problem with many relationships is that we keep making withdrawal. We keep taking, we take each other for granted a lot. So as a man, when you are home, be home. Don't be home and you are carrying laptop and you are watching TV and the person that they are saying, no, I'm busy. You should be busy in the work at home. You should be a father, not a CEO. Then women, listen and listen well. The day the man now decides to stay at home, please let him stay at home. Because the problem now is the day the man now decides to stay at home, the woman that is not wise will now frustrate the man. Say, hey, you are at home today. No work. You don't have seminar. Okay, no management meeting. And the guy said, no, I'm here. He said, are you really sure you are here? So you frustrate the guy, and then he packs his load, and he says, okay, I'm going. He said, I know you are going to go. I know you're going to go. He's going because you are driving him away. Let us pray. Lift up your hands to heaven. Lord, give me wisdom that I may win. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. That the Lord will give you wisdom that you may win. Open your mouth and pray. Lord, give me wisdom that I may win. Lord, give me wisdom. Open your mouth and pray. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. That I may win. Open your mouth and pray. Lord, give me wisdom.
Pray for wisdom. Spirit of the living God, the Bible.
Lord, give me wisdom.
Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our time.
So Lord, give me wisdom.
Grant unto us wisdom.
In the name of Jesus. Baptism of wisdom. Wisdom to manage the relationships of my life.
Wisdom, of God.
Wisdom, wisdom, Lord. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You are going to go to God and you are going to pray. I believe very strongly that in the next 4 days, God wants us to have relational transformation. Jesus. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me not to miss any day in this conference. Make a way for me. Open your mouth and pray. The next 4 days, everyone is expected to be here. Let's bring our brothers. Let's bring our sisters. Let's fill this house. Go to the campus. Invite the singles. Let people come from all over. There are things that God wants to say. There are things that the Spirit of the Lord wants us to hear. Open your mouth and pray, Lord, help me to be here. Help me not to miss this conference. Help me not to miss the opportunity for transformation. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Shalabokolaya. Rikabala kotalayada. Zele palo shata yakanda haya. Thank you, awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you're under the sound of my voice, we have 17 envelopes. Pastor has picked one. I pick one. My ministry has picked one. So we have 14 envelopes left. If you are here today, you are empowered by the Spirit of God. You have your business. God has blessed you. Let's bless humanity. If you want to pick any of this envelope, come now. I want to pray for you. Come. Hurry up, come. Let's see. I will do that very fast. Hurry up, hurry up. There's anybody out there that needs to pick any of this envelope, come. I would like to pray with you. I would like to pray with you. Please come. Let's hurry up. Let's hurry up. Thank you. Let's hurry up. You want to pick this envelope? Come. Come. Let's see if we can settle this right now. Come, come, come. Pastor, please come. Let's pray for them. Man of God, please come. Stay here. We want to pray for you. Come. Come and pick this envelope. 10,000 Ghana City. Let's settle it once and for all. We cannot bless people like that and still be in debt. That's not the plan of God. Let's come. Let's come. There are many of you that still need to come. Come from the galleries. I'm waiting for you. Come. You are a CEO. You are a business executive. Come. Come. Let's secure the future of our children. Let's secure the future of our generation. You've seen all kinds of things done in that video. We need to pay these bills. We cannot add that to the responsibility of the leaders. They have released the anointing. They have transformed lives. Come, come, come. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's do that very fast. Is there no woman that has money in this church? Are all the women here poor? No rich woman that can do 10,000. Or you are waiting for your husband. Your husband can do 10. You do 10. Ah, where are the women? Don't fall my hand though. I need at least 2 women here. Hurry up. Hurry up. 10,000. Where are the single ladies? All the single ladies? All the single ladies? You better come now and do something so that you buy into your future and God brings a billionaire and make you a billionaire. So we're going to do that. 2 more seconds. Anybody joining us? Okay, Pastor, please, let's pray, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, we join our faith together and we pray for your children. In the name that is above every name, do what you alone can do. I agree with your son. It's time for billionaires to be raised in this house. Lord, we agree today. Opportunities that will make them billionaires. Ideas that will make them billionaires. Connections that will make them billionaires. Inventions, products and services. Links that will turn their finances around. Let it happen supernaturally. In the name of Jesus, we declare it so. And we thank you because it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you. So bring your seat. Finally, listen to me. On Wednesday, we are going to be having the singles dinner, and it's just 50 Ghana cedis. Now, what I want to do this morning, I've asked them yesterday. They told me we have just about 300 seats available. Now, as many of you that are here today, and you would like to be a part of that dinner, I want you to come and register today. There's a registration stand that is out there that they call Stand B. But what I want to do right now, in the next 1 minute, if you are under the sound of my voice, you are a single person, either male or female, and you have your 50 Ghana CD with you, I want you to come to the altar. I want to pray for you so that you can collect your card now. Hurry up. Hurry up. Come with your 50 Ghana CD now. Let's start the ticket now. Let's hurry up. If there's anybody, time is gone. Let's move fast. We need to take the communion. So singles, please, can I have the card? I want to give the first 100 people. Bring your 50. Okay, you have the card. So bring your Ghana CDs if you have it. Hurry up. 50 Ghana CDs. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. We need to start selling the ticket now so that we can get everything sorted out. We need to know how many people are coming by tomorrow night. God bless you. Just get the ticket. Get the ticket. I'm going to pray for you. Another person, let's move fast. Let's move fast. Let's move fast. Hurry up. Where are the guys now? Look at all of you sitting there laughing. Eh? And you want to marry. You don't have 50 Ghana CDs. Come and buy two. One for you, one for your proposal. Hurry up, hurry up. 50 Ghana CDs. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Thank you, my brother. Yes. Come, fast, 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 fast. Just collect it. I want to pray for you. Yes. Hurry up, hurry up. So there is a stand out there, but I just want to pray for those. How many is he buying? Like 5. Okay, good guy. That's my guy. 1, 2. I like you. Hurry up. I need to close now. My time is up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this your children. I use them as a point of contact. That everyone that you have destined to be in this conference and to be at the dinner,